All right. Thankful for the good news we're hearing from Pastor Scott in China. I've been aware of that since I've privileged to pray with Pastor Scott on a rather regular basis by telephone. And thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in their lives. And that little Elisha, from what I understand, is the name, huh? We're going to be thinking this morning about what's new with you from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And let me read the context, first of all, and then come back again to the verse. 2 Corinthians 5, starting with verse 16. So from now on, Paul is saying, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. And then the next verse, 17, will be our text. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. And then Paul, reflecting a little more on his own ministry, says, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore God's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Again, the text, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. Praise God. May I lead you in a prayer? Thank you, Father, that through your Son and through your Spirit you speak so clearly. Thank you, Jesus, for uniting us to yourself so that we could be new creations. And we could discover that old things that related to an old nature, the past, and all things were becoming new. Seal these thoughts that came from your heart, first of all, to our hearts this morning, and bless us in this time of hearing your word in Christ's name. Amen. My title this morning is, What's New With You? Anybody ask you that this week? We often do, don't we? And when somebody asks you that, you're more likely to kind of think up something that just happened this last week, a trip you took, an unusual experience. I hope by the end of our time together with this passage, you'll be thinking about something else when somebody asks that question. And when they say, what's new with you? You might ponder a bit and say, you know what? I am new. That's the message here. I'm new. We're new. I want to start out with a fable. Maybe you've heard it before. Always kind of gripped me when I read it. It's the fable of an American Indian, an Indian brave who found an eagle egg and he put it in the nest of a prairie chicken. And the eaglet hatched along with the brood of prairie chickens and he grew up with them. In all his life, this newly hatched eagle, thinking he was a prairie chicken, did what prairie chickens do. He scratched in the dirt for seeds and insects, clucked and he cackled, and he flew in a brief flurry of feathers a few feet off the ground for a short distance. But that's what prairie chickens do. And then as the years passed, this eagle turned prairie chicken, grew very old, and one day he saw a magnificent bird up in the sky. And it soared with scarcely a beat of its wings. Its golden wings hung magnificently on the powerful wind currents. "What a beautiful bird," he said to the prairie chicken nearby. "What is it?" "Oh," said the prairie chicken, "that's an eagle. The chief of birds. But don't give it a second thought. You could never be like that." And so the changeling eagle never did give it another thought. And he died thinking he was a prairie chicken. Now, it would be sad, wouldn't it, if an eagle created to soar on the winds should spend its life scratching in the dirt for bugs and seeds and flying in a flurry of feathers. Yeah, that would be kind of sad. But sadder still, if one who is born again to be conformed to the image of Christ with a new heart and the intent of a new life, masterfully fashioned by the Creator of the universe to do the works of God, to be holy, transformed, powerful, living the abundant life. If such a person were to grovel on the earth below, fond of the trifling toys of materialism and the trivial pursuits of worldliness, instead of soaring on the wings of faith and prayer. Isaiah was thinking something along those lines when he said in chapter 40, "Those of you who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint." That's you. That's us. If you were born again, then you are a brand new person. That's what the scripture says. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Very simple passage. We can divide it quickly and easily into three sections. First, a new relationship, our relationship with Christ, united with him. Secondly, our new nature. We are new creations. And finally, a new life. The old is gone. The new has come. Let's start by thinking together about what it means that we are new, have a new relationship. And that comes out of the phrase, if anyone is in Christ. To be in Christ is to be connected with Christ. That little word "in" is very small, but it's very, very important. Jesus himself got us started thinking along that line when, on the last of his earthly pre-cross days on earth, he said, "Abide in me and I will abide in you, that you can bear much fruit." The essence of Christianity is not being a good person, not going to church, praying a lot, having a good knowledge of the Bible, important as those are. But the essence of Christianity is having a new relationship with Christ. Paul seemed to think that. He uses the word "in" to talk about our connectedness with Christ 164 times in his writings. It was absolutely fundamental. And he zeroes in on it beautifully in Galatians 2:20 when he says, "You know, I no longer live. Christ lives in me. The life I live in him." Apart from me, Jesus said in that same setting where he introduced us to the importance of remaining in him, uniting with him, abiding with him. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And so if we're not connected with Christ, then we cannot soar as we were born to do. We cannot be transformed. We can't be the godly people who have the abundant life, be the new persons that God intended us to be. The source of our new life, Paul is saying, is a person. A person. And that person is today alive in a new glorified body at the right hand of the Father, of a certain height and a certain weight, and you and I are connected with him. Most of you probably know the name of Josh McDowell. When Josh McDowell was a young student on the university campus where he got his education, he was an outspoken skeptic, ridiculed Christianity, thought Christians were naive, empty-headed, ridiculed and argued against the faith. But he noticed a young lady on the campus who was remarkably different. She was so different that he asked her one day, "What makes you so different? What changed your life?" And Josh reports to us, she looked me straight in the eye and said two words I never thought I would hear as part of a solution on a university campus. She said, "Jesus Christ." And his response, as he reports it, was, "Oh, for God's sake, don't give me that garbage. I'm fed up with religion. I'm fed up with the church. I'm fed up with the Bible. Don't give me that garbage about religion." And her response was, "Mister," she shot back, "I didn't say religion. I said, Jesus Christ." That was the beginning of a turning point in Josh McDowell's life. Maybe some of you have read some of his great books, More Than a Carpenter, Focus on Jesus, Evidence That Demands a Verdict. Check out the website. There's over 25 books that he's written into the Christian faith. He discovered what Paul was talking about, the essence of the Christian life, found in a person, in Jesus Christ. We must not miss that. And this person to whom we are linked is the most powerful, along with the Father, the most powerful, the wisest, the most loving, the most gracious, the most life-giving person who ever lived. He is the one to whom we are connected. And our connection with Christ makes all the difference in the world. Think of it this way. Since he, as we know, is the way and the truth and the life, we will always know the way. We will always have a grip on the truth. We will always have life because he is with us. Since he is the light of the world, we will always be able to live the enlightened life if he is with us. Since he is the bread of life, we will never go hungry if we feed on him. Since he is the good shepherd, we will never lack for one to lead us and guide us and protect us. Since he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, we will find in him forgiveness full and free. We will find victory over the world and the flesh and the devil. Let's remember that as we come to the Lord's table a little later in this worship service, that we are linked to him. And as we eat his bread and drink of the wine, it's not just bread and juice that come in. It's a living person linking himself to us so that we might be made anew. Now, if you have that new relationship, then you are a new creation. That's Paul's second thought here. If anyone is in Christ, united with Christ, linked with Christ, vitally connected with Him on a daily basis, then you are a new creation. Years ago, when I meditated on this passage and preached on it, I used to quickly change the word creation to person, thinking, well, we're really focusing on a person. We are new persons. But I've kind of reverted my thinking on that, because I think we need to focus on the meaning of creation. Creation is bringing something into existence, something that wasn't there before. It's causing it to come to being. We're not just new persons. We are new creations. God has thought us up, the new being that you and I are. We are, in His thinking, originals. If you were to walk in the Louvre in Paris, you would see only originals. Artwork. If you were to look around Hope in Christ Church, you would see a lot of originals. No one else like you. God thought you up. He made you brand new. He brought you, a new you, into existence. Today they are telling us there are over 7 billion people in the world, and over a billion of those 7 billion plus are believers. Think of it. God has over a billion new creations in this world, every one of them originals. And that means you and me as well, if we are children of God. So what does it mean to be born again and to have to become a new creature? Well, I think Ezekiel had a hold of it when he said, he predicted the new age which came through Jesus Christ and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I will give you a new heart, and I'll put a new spirit within you. I'll remove from you the stony heart, the stubborn heart, the disobedient heart that you came into the world with when you had Adam's nature. And I will put a new spirit in you, and I will move you to follow my decrees. I'll be careful to keep my laws. He was talking about the radical transition that happens when we become new creations in Christ. And that happened, as we're going to be reminded again this morning at the Lord's table, through Jesus Christ. I think Paul said it best, at least for me, in Romans 6 when he talked about God's plan to take the stony heart out of our flesh and give us responsive hearts. And that happened when, linked to Christ, we died with Christ. Really? Yes. The old nature, the Adam nature with which we came into this world, that nature died with Christ on the cross. What's left? A new life, which came forth from Him. He came out of the grave. And that's the new life we now have. We arose with Christ. So to have a new heart is to have the heart of Christ. It is to be raised with Him. It is to be 100%. Well, let me back up and say it this way. You and I know good and well that Jesus was 100% loving, 100% serving, 100% glorifying God, 100% keeping His commandments. And if He is linked to us always, all the time, then His heart, His nature is there in us, and we are always ready to serve Him. We are sharing in His abundant life. We're soaring on wings as eagles, His wings. And so we are not what we were before. We've been converted. Most of you probably don't know that I grew up in Linden, Washington, on a dairy farm a little to the northwest of Linden. Maybe you knew that, but you probably didn't know that I grew up in a chicken coop. But it didn't seem like a chicken coop because before I was born, it was converted. As a chicken coop, it just had four walls and a floor and a light bulb in the ceiling. But by the time I was born, that chicken coop had lots of windows, two stories, a nice kitchen, several bedrooms, a living room, a dining room, a bathroom, everything you could want in a house converted. Something gone and something come. That's the kind of thing that's happened in our lives. We got converted. Not just a moment in time when we can talk about, well, I experienced a conversion. No, we got changed from an old nature to a new nature. And that is sealed for us in the life, death, resurrection of Jesus Christ, as we will be reminded this morning. This sacrament will remind us of our linkage to Christ as we eat his body and drink his blood. And so the last thing to see here is this. The old has gone, the new has come. And so let's return to the verse. If we are in Christ, united with him, we are new creations. And the change that happens, the very practical change, the day-to-day, here and now, is that the old has gone, the new has come. And I'd admit to you that many, many years, I struggled with understanding that. It seemed like the emphasis was so much on the old life, you know, and all our sinfulness and all our problems and all our difficulties that I could hardly grasp the fact that the old has gone, really? But the truth is, the old has gone. Those are God's words in Scripture. The old life, which was simply being human, is gone. The old life in which we were not vitally connected with Christ is gone. The life before we were new creations is gone. So what is it that was gone? What is it that passed away? Well, let me put it this way. The life we had with our stubborn hearts before the Spirit came in, that's gone. The life Ezekiel was talking about. And to pick up on Solomon's words in Proverbs, when he said, "Lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will transform your life, will direct your life." That old life of leaning on our own understanding, that's gone. We trust him now. Trust in the Lord. The life that's filled with pride and self-exaltation, that's gone. The life that lived to gratify the flesh, that's gone. The life of pursuing worldly pleasures as the dominant goal of our life, that's gone. The life of ingratitude and unconsciousness of God, that's gone. The flesh is getting crucified. The world is being overcome. We're able to defy the evil one. Resist him, and he flees from us. Lots of things are gone because we are new creatures in Christ. And our new life has come, says Paul. And what he means is that instead of stubborn hearts, we have responsive, obedient hearts. That instead of gratifying the sinful desires, we bear the fruit of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and the rest of the fruit. Instead of being conformed to the patterns of this world, we are being transformed by the renewal of our minds. Instead of being self-exalting, we are now God-glorifying. Instead of succumbing to the devil's temptations, we are able to resist the devil and cause him to flee from us. Instead of walking in the darkness, we share in the inheritance of the saints and live in the kingdom of light, having been rescued from the dominion of darkness and brought into the kingdom of the Son he loves. Instead of being tools of the devil, we are instruments of righteousness. Instead of being weak and stumbling, we are strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Now, we're not perfect, but the truth is, the old has passed and the new has come. One final question remains, though. I'm sure it remains in your mind as it remained in mine after I studied this passage again. Why do we still struggle so much with sin? If the old is gone, the new has come? And the answer is, if I can be very brief here, three hostile forces that are constantly working against us: the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world, human society, a dark system operating under the control of the evil one, pressing in on us almost daily, like hurricane winds and pelting rain. We have to protect ourselves from the world, the flesh, the old nature. Nah, the old nature is gone, but something of the habits that developed and the attitudes and the thought patterns that developed when the old nature was rooted and carrying us along, something of those habit patterns still remain in us. They linger. And so we have a bunch of these little addictions within us that came from the old nature called flesh. And we daily need to work to overcome them. So the world, the flesh, and then above all the devil, who obviously uses the flesh, who uses the world. But the unique thing about the devil's coming against us all the time, we who are new creations in Christ, is that he tailors. He knows my thoughts and minds. He knows the people around me. He knows my past. He knows where I'm going. He knows what I'm doing and what you're doing. And he is contriving to tailor his will into our lives on the basis of what he knows. He has the principalities and powers and world rulers of darkness. Yeah, there are these pressures that continue, even on the new creation, even on us. But God has given us a very, very strong defensive system. We have the armor, already been mentioned. Belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the good news shoes, helmet of salvation. Yeah, put on the armor. New creatures in Christ, they will help you stand and be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. We have a linkage with God called prayer. To the sleeping disciples in Gethsemane, Jesus said, "Watch and pray that you will enter not into temptation." Yeah, and we have that today. We have the word, as the psalmist reminds us, hide the word in our hearts that we will not sin against him. And most of all, best of all, we have the Holy Spirit. We are controlled, said Paul in Galatians, not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit of God. And so if we are responsive to the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, walking in the Word, strong in prayer, having the armor on, yes, we can stand as new creations in Christ. So I ask you, what's new with you? Are you sure that you're traveling along the pathway that Paul suggests? You can say, I am. I'm a new creation in Christ. Old things are passed away. Everything is new in my life. Wow. Let's pray together. Father, we acknowledge you as the creator. And what a wonderful world you created. And what you brought into the world when we were born, each of us, was an amazing thing. But even more amazing is what you've done in the new creation. Thank you, Jesus, for not leaving us as dupes to the old nature, the old sinful nature of Adam that was in us from the beginning, but you've brought about a new nature, the very nature of Jesus Christ, and you've given us a constant link and all the resources we need to stand to be the new people you have made us to be. Thank you. Thank you. Amen.